Well, hello, my wonderful friends. Welcome to Faith FM Drive Time. Welcome to Big Q&A. This is the show where we respond to difficult questions concerning God, faith, contemporary religion, and the Bible. And this is our special Friday night program entitled Eden to Eternity. From creation to restoration, we explore God's plan to bring us back to His original design. Communion, peace, worship, and the rest He promised in Matthew 11:28. Come unto me and I will give you rest. My name is Emily, your host for today, and joining me, as always, is my colleague Naomi. Welcome, Naomi.
Hello, everyone. It's so great to be here on this beautiful evening going into the Sabbath hours, and I hope that you've all had a wonderful week. And if you haven't, well, we know that we can rest in Jesus and get all the strength and all the assurance and care with Him on the Sabbath hours.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. And I think David knows what's happening. He says, good afternoon, Emily and Naomi. That was quick.
That was quick, David. He's in Warwick, WA today. So thank you for your message. That is really lovely.
Yes, thank you for listening.
Yeah, thanks everyone for joining us. Wherever you are in Australia, going into the Sabbath hours, isn't it wonderful to go into the Sabbath, Emily?
Oh, yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to it this week.
Why is that?
Well, I had a very busy week. I mean, part of it was really great. We had our friend John Kadevsky. He came over from Melbourne and we did some training with him.
It was so good. So shout out to John Kadevsky, even though you might not be listening, but we're shouting out to you in Melbourne
and
at Gateway
Naomi,
Church.
And Naomi, his wife.
Different Naomi. And yes. What was your favourite bit about the training?
Well, I think it's probably just John has this way, like he just tells so many stories and, you know, he doesn't talk like really slow and it's not boring at all. So it was really easy to listen to and fun and, you know, you just learn things from the stories that he tells.
What did you learn?
I don't know. You put me on the spot. Like, I don't know, just things, you know, different ways to answer people or interact with people or to witness to people. And yeah, lots of different things. And then also I had a busy study week as well. So
yeah, she's studying nutrition in case people don't know. Very, very busy. I don't know how she fits it all in. Well, my favorite bit was he taught us one exercise to write down the name of somebody we would like to do Bible studies with. So I wrote down the name of Zia.
Oh,
hello,
yes.
Zia, if you're listening. And he said then to pray over that name. And so he kept talking and going on with the class, but I was praying. I was praying for Zia because we've never done Bible studies together, but we've known each other for probably at least 18 months, maybe 2 years since I've been here.
Yep.
And guess what happened next, listeners?
Dun-dun-dun.
My phone rang and it was Zia. I couldn't believe I couldn't answer the phone because I was in the middle of a class, but I showed it to my friend next to me, Natasha, who knows Zia, and she'd seen me write down her name and she was like, what? And anyway, long story short, I end up texting Zia and told her the story. She couldn't believe it either. She was texting me back. And then I went, Zia, I think God's trying to tell you and I something.
Mm.
And then I said, Zia, would you like to do a Bible study with us? And you know what she said, listeners? She said,
yes.
Yes. And we did it on Wednesday and we did Daniel 2 and it was fantastic, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes. Your energy, Zia, is amazing and just your passion.
Focus, her joy. She's just thirsty and she knows her scripture. You know your scripture, Zia, and it's amazing. We said it was the best Bible study ever, and Emily made her very famous curry with rice, which we had first, and it was a really memorable day.
Yes,
wasn't
and
it?
Speaking of food.
Yeah, what's happening?
We have another plant-based cooking class coming up, but this time we're having it in the city. So in Adelaide, the Adelaide City, if you're in Adelaide, you can come to the Adelaide City Seventh-day Adventist Church. We'll have it in the hall there, and that is 82 Angus Street. So that's 82 Angus Street, and this is going to be on Wednesday at 6:15. So Wednesday the 18th of March, starting at 6:15.
So if you're going home from work, don't go home. Just come up. Near the Calvary Hospital. What a wonderful name, Calvary.
That's right. And you don't have to worry about parking because we've got a very special deal with the park just over the road that if you display a little leaflet, then you only have to pay $2.
Yep.
That's so all.
$2, and you'll see the parking attendants, our very good friends in a nice fluoro shirt. They will be giving you a little slip to say that you're coming over to the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and you'll get you'll just pay $2 for the whole evening.
Yes, but we do need to know that you are coming, so you can text us right now on our drive time number.
Yeah,
or you can look us up on Try Booking or on Facebook, Plant Based Cooking Classes. So, our drive time number, I should give you that. Mm. If you don't have it, is 0488 808 11. So you can let us know right now, or you can look us up online.
That's right.
I think we've got more exciting things happening this weekend.
We do. On Sunday, if you're in Adelaide as well, we're going to have Pastor Martin Kim, and he's going to do a wonderful presentation Sunday, 4 o'clock. Through to the evening. There's going to be a beautiful plant-based cooking or plant-based meal, I should say. They're going to do the cooking. We're going to be eating. But it starts at 4 o'clock, and it's called What in the World is Going On? And he's going to talk about all the warnings. Is it near the end? And how we call upon God, and Revelation's rapture, like what does it actually mean? So that's going to be at Prospect International Church, which is 7 Ballville Street in Prospect. And that is at 4 o'clock this coming Sunday. So that's going to be amazing.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And we just want to do a shout out to our good friend Blaze. We got to see him this week.
We did.
And
we did a Bible study on the Mark of the Beast, which was just so exciting. So hello, Blaze. Thank you for supporting us and always listening in. Tanya and Mark, who actually might be coming on Sunday.
Yeah, we'd love to see you there.
Yeah, love to see you. Shout out to Grasshopper on Kangaroo Island. Zia, of course, Duncan and Courtney, and all of our friends, Bev, Esther and Link over on Kangaroo Island as well, and Elise, Cameron, and also Ivy and Josh, and
the dog. Yes. Thinking of the dog.
What's the dog's name is
Isla.
Isla, yes, Isla. Little Isla.
Yes.
So welcome, everybody, and welcome to Drive Time Big Q&A, Eat Into Eternity. And tonight we have a very, very, very special guest, and that is Tim Rosenberg. If you were listening in last Friday night to our program, he actually talked through Daniel 11, which he's been studying most of his life, and was telling us just wonderful things. If you're in Perth, Western Australia tonight, he will be speaking at the Victoria Park Church, which is in Geddes Street in Victoria Park, just near Albany Highway. That starts at 6:30 p.m. and tomorrow at 10 a.m. and again on Sunday at 3 o'clock. And tomorrow it's an all-day event, and there's a special lunch as well, and it really will be amazing. I know a lot of people saw him up in the hills in Perth and at Bickley Church, which they some people are actually going to come again and go down to Victoria Park. So if you're in the Perth area, or you have friends or relatives in the Perth area, get them to come along tonight, 6:30 p.m. And Pastor, I think Pastor Eamon will be there, who's from the Mundaring Hills and church plant, and they're going to be coming down as well to listen to this amazing prophecy series, and it really is extraordinary, isn't it, Emily?
Yes, so stay with us. We have a very exciting conversation, I know that it will be this evening, with Pastor Tim Rosenberg. And we just want to give a shout out to Esther, and she says, hi, Naomi and Emily, good to hear you both again. And she said she would love to come. I think she's talking about the cooking class.
The cooking class.
But she's in Perth.
Oh, well, then you can go along and see Tim Rosenberg at Vic Park.
Amazing.
In Geddes Street in Victoria Park, the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Yes. So before we go to our special guest and some music as well,
mm-hmm.
we have a free giveaway. Naomi, what is our free giveaway?
Our free giveaway. Yes, we've got this wonderful book. It's so good. It's called The Bloody Woman and the Seven-Headed Beast, and it's by Steve Warburg, which he's a terrific writer. And the code word to text in today is SA407. So that's SA407, no dots or dashes, no spaces, SA as in South Australia, SA407, and our number for drive time is 0488 0488 11 0488 11. And good to see you, Blaze, that you're listening in. He's saying thanks for the shout out to us. So you're very welcome, Blaze, and best Bible study as well. We had two amazing Bible studies this week. So yes. If you'd like the book, Blaze, or anyone else, it's a terrific book. It's describing, in Revelation when it talks about, I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs and Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. But the angel said to me, why do you marvel? And I tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. And that's Revelation 17:6-7. So this amazing book by Steve Warburg, The Bloody Woman and the Seven-Headed Beast. The contents of this book are so amazing. It identifies who the woman is, the three seven-headed beasts. It decodes the seven kings. It talks about America in Bible prophecy, the mark of Rome, the ten horns against the lamb, and the great city. I want this book. This is a fantastic book. And I love Steve Warburg. He's a terrific writer. He's written some of my favorite books. So get onto this, everyone. You need to get this. And if you've, you know, you can have a read. It's not a giant book. And then give it to a friend or maybe a neighbor. SA407 is the code. That's SA407 0488 8 0 8 11.
And a shout out to Damien and Esther who texted in for the book.
Very good.
You'll enjoy that.
Excellent.
Now, friends, we have some music, and this is My Redeemer is Faithful and True by Fountain View Academy.
As I look back on this road I've traveled, I see so many times He's carried me through. And if there's one thing that I've learned in this life, my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything He has said He will do. Every morning His mercies are new.
My Redeemer is faithful and true. My heart rejoices when
everything He has said He will do. Every morning His mercies are new. Mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Jesus is faithful and true. Thank you.
And that was My Redeemer is Faithful and True by Fountain View Academy. If you've just joined us, friends, you're listening to Faith FM Drive Time, big Q&A with Emily and Naomi. And we just want to welcome you again to this program on this evening. And Naomi, who do we have joining us tonight?
Yes, we're very, very privileged. If you were listening in last week, we had Tim Rosenberg with us, and he was talking about some wonderful topics, and we're very privileged to have Tim Rosenberg back with us. Welcome, Tim.
Welcome.
It is good to be with you, ladies.
It's so lovely that you could join us again. We know that your time, since you've been talking about Islam and Christianity and the war in Iran, and you've travelled all the way from America, you've been to Tahiti and New Zealand, northern New South Wales, and now you're in Western Australia still. I know you spoke last weekend at the Bickley Seventh-day Adventist Church in the hills, and tonight you're going to be speaking at the Victoria Park Church. So listeners, if you are in Western Australia or you've got friends who are in Western Australia, please get along tonight. It's going to be two sessions, 6:30 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. Tonight and tomorrow, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock and 3 o'clock, and a beautiful lunch in between, and also Sunday, 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock, sharing all of this incredible information. And also Tim has his book, which is called Islam and Christianity. If you'd like to go to his website, it is islamandchristianity.org. And his book is Islam and Christianity in Bible Prophecy, and you can get that on Amazon. Tell us, Tim, how have you been finding the nights that you've and the days you've been up in the hills in Bickley Church and the people that you've been sharing with?
It's been amazing. Their eyes have been opened wide. They're asking, why didn't we ever hear anything like this before? The answer to that is simple. Most people thought Daniel 11 was difficult, so they've ignored it. But it is the prophecy for the time of the end, so it should be the one we pay attention to now, and they are thrilled, enough thrilled, that quite a few of them are going to be going down to Victoria Park to hear it again.
Wow. Well, I don't blame them. I would want to. I've been listening to you online and watching. I understand it might also be live streamed tomorrow and tonight, and you can also go to the Bickley Church website in Perth, the Bickley Church. They've actually got Tim's seminars up there on the website there, so you can watch them back. And as we're talking about also tonight and on the weekend, you can go to Victoria Park. What is it that you've been sharing with everybody? Can you just give us a snapshot in case some people didn't tune in last week to our podcast?
In Daniel chapter 11, it is talking about a king of the north and a king of the south. It starts in Daniel's day with the invasion of Persia from the north. Then the Greeks come in from the north with Alexander the Great. The Greek Empire splits four ways, but he cares about a north and a south. There was Seleucid north, Ptolemy south, and the place of Jerusalem and God's people get caught in the middle. Now, it's really important. This prophecy is about both the place and the people when you read through Daniel 8 and 9, which is the foundation or the starting point. So the understanding needs to be about place and a people. Then the Romans come in from the north, and Jesus dies in the very middle of this prophecy. And that's important because God's people get caught in the middle. Jesus knows what it's like in the middle. He died in the middle. He's with his people that are caught in the middle. At the end, he will rescue his people caught in the middle. So this is really about Jesus and how it's a story of how God is working through history, working towards when he's going to deliver his people. So I find this fascinating from that point. But then the Roman Empire divides after Jesus, and again it goes into a north and a south. And you have Islam strikes Jerusalem and God's people from the south, and the papacy comes back and strikes Jerusalem from the north. There are three conflicts. You have Arab caliphates, and the Pope calls for war, and you get the Crusades. You have Ottoman caliphates, the Pope calls for war, and you get the Holy League. Time of the end, you have another caliphate formed in 2014. 5.5 weeks later, the Pope called for war, and you've got what's going on right now. He called for military action, actually, which is the same as the others. So we're in the third and final one. Radical Islam will go down. Moderate Islam will follow papal-led Christianity. And some Muslims and some Christians will truly follow Jesus in the Bible. That's Daniel 11 in a thumbnail, but there's one other piece I should add.
What's that?
In Revelation, during the third and final time of the end conflict, papal-led traditional Christianity gets allies. Revelation 13, you have the second beast, which I and many, many other Bible scholars understand to be the United States, and they will eventually unite church and state and make this a holy war kind of thing, enforcing for traditional Christianity. And you will have a group of European nations, 10 horns, joining in with that alliance. So you have a King of the North alliance. And then in Revelation 11, you get a King of the South alliance. Out of the French Revolution, you get Marxist socialism or the radical left that joins the King of the South, Islam, radical left alliance. And today we have a term for it in the media. The global North is the King of the North alliance. The global South is the King of the South alliance. And so Daniel, 2,500 years ago, already had it as a North versus South in the closing events of this history. And that's what you're watching happening all around you.
Wow, that's incredible. And so you're talking about Daniel 11. For those of you who've never read the Bible, that is in the Old Testament, and in the New Testament is Revelation. And they are both a very compatible books. Tell us why Daniel and Revelation is normally studied together.
Well, they both start from the writer's time and go through to God's kingdom. Mm-hmm. And so Daniel starts about 500 years before Christ, and John is just a few years after Christ. But they both describe papal-led Christianity's rise to power and how God will deliver his people. They both talk about roles for Islam in three conflicts. In Revelation, it's called the three woes. In Daniel, in verses 25 through 45, you have three conflicts. And so they're covering the same material. They do it in slightly different ways. In the woes, it talks about the strength of the King of the South alliance, or Islam, against papal-led Christianity. In Daniel, it talks about the strength of traditional Christianity and papal-led Christianity as they strike back against Islam. When you put them together, you get the whole picture. Mm. It's amazing how it works. And that's often the case, that God gave us both of these, and when you study them both together, you get a fuller picture of the details. Another way of saying it is the most sequential outline of Bible prophecy in the Bible is actually Daniel 11. It starts in Daniel's time, and it sequentially works through all the way to God's kingdom. Daniel 2, 7, and 8 do it as well, but they don't go into the detail of Daniel 11. And only 11 gives us the detail of the time of the end. And then you go to Revelation and other parts of Daniel, and you take God's sequence in chapter 11, and it fills out the detail. It's just amazing when you start seeing them together with Daniel 11. Now, some people say, hey, well, why did it take so long for people to study Daniel 11? Mm-hmm. Well, in the very prophecy, Daniel, the prophecy is actually 11 and 12. And in 12 verse 4, at the end of the prophecy, it tells us this won't be understood until the time of the end.
Wow.
So it's only going to be while it's happening that it's going to be understood, and that's exactly the way it's playing out. So God's always right.
Always right. And so the time of the end, you just said before, the details of the time of the end, what is it we need to know? Because we are in the time of the end. I understand the time of the end started in 1844. Is that correct?
Well, there's a little debate if it's 1798 or 1844, and I don't think it's much of a difference. Here's why. All the players in the time of the end conflict are put in place in the 1790s through the 1840s.
And who are the players?
The United States from Revelation 13 comes in then. Out of the French Revolution, 1790s, by the time you get to 1840s, the ideas are turning into atheism through Darwinism and Marxist socialism. So once you hit the 1840s, all these ideas are there. And so it's not, to me, it's not quite the fullness of the time of the end, but the introduction is 1798, the end of the 1260-year prophecy. And by the time you get to 1844, you now have a heavenly judgment, which could take just a few seconds if God wanted to hurry. And so anytime after that judgment begins in the heavenly sanctuary, and I've got a whole presentation on that on our website, but anytime after that, Jesus could now come at any time, so you are now literally in the time of the end when Jesus can come. Mm. The players are all in place. So this can now happen at any time. And the only thing holding it back is explained in Revelation 7 verses 1 through 3, where God has four angels holding back the winds of strife because his people aren't ready. So anytime after 1840s, when the judgment begins, Christ could come if his people were doing the job. Obviously, we've been failing. And just think of yourself. I know we've got people listening as they're driving along. Here's my question. Have you been really sharing the love of Jesus and his Bible truths with others? Have you really been taking it seriously? That's the question. And the answer for most people is no. Hmm. We need to really get serious about sharing the love of Jesus.
Yes. So when you talk about what our job is, what is it that Christ is waiting for us to do, and why is it so important that we have to do what he wants us to do?
Well, just remember, Jesus is the center of this prophecy. So here's the question. Is he the center of our lives? You know, he's going to be rescuing the people that are caught in the middle because he's the center of their lives. And so what he's trying to do, and this, the whole prophecy points out that he will allow this globalized conflict between the King of the North, King of the South alliances to get everybody's attention because it's been laid out in prophecy. That conflict, as radical left and radical Islam collapse, will open up an opportunity all over the world to share the gospel like never before. But the sequence of the prophecy is the King of the North Alliance then gets mad at true followers of God all over the world and goes out to attack and annihilate them. Revelation 13 says not allowed to buy and sell or to kill them, because they're standing up for Bible truth and the King of the North is tradition, claiming to be Bible truth. And he goes out to destroy and annihilate them. But during that time of giving a message, God's people are saying, see, the prophecy's been fulfilled. This is our opportunity, and we're about to be persecuted. And when he turns around and persecutes them, it's like the final seal on this message that it's of God, and everybody makes up their decision. And then Jesus sets those last things in the process as he delivers his people, because everybody has made their decision. Daniel 11 is the sequence. And for our brothers and sisters in Christ, don't be waiting for persecution to wake up. Yes, it's going to come. But according to Daniel 11, the sign to wake up is the collapse of radical Islam and the radical left. And I'm even reading articles this week in the Jerusalem Post that says that radical Islam and their allies from the left have already lost. They just don't know it yet. Wow. That just, yeah, this means that it's time to wake up. What the Bible says is coming is now here, and God could still call a timeout and cause a pause if his people aren't getting ready, but it's getting so close that it should be waking up people. And I can just tell you, be it Bickley, Eastern Australia, New Zealand, or Tahiti, people are waking up when they hear this.
And praise the Lord. So people, if you've just joined us, we're speaking to Tim Rosenberg, and he has spent the last 25 years studying Daniel 11 and the prophecies, and he's really spent his life dedicated to that. We're going to go to a beautiful music, and but don't go away. We'll be coming back, and we want to continue on and talk about what is it that we need to do to prepare for the end times.
And so this is People Need the Lord by Gavin Shatilia.
Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain. silent cries. Only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open
Need the Lord by Gavin Shatilia. Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time, big Q&A with Emily and Naomi. And we are joined by Tim Rosenberg, and he has been sharing more about Daniel 11. He has been studying it for over 25 years, and it's just been amazing just to see how important it is and how this prophecy is coming true before our very eyes.
Yes, it's been absolutely incredible. Thank you for being with us, Tim. And I note that you make a statement, which is the Bible is not silent regarding Islam and the last days. Tell us, why is it not silent, and what do we need to know to prepare for the last days?
Well, God's people are always caught in the middle in these prophecies. And you have papal-led Christianity to the north, Islam to the south in this prophecy. And just think back during the Crusades. If you were a true follower of Jesus and wanted to share Bibles with people, the Christian north would kill you. But if you moved down to the south, down in the Saudi Arabia or Egypt, the Muslims would kill you for doing the same thing. So it's not just about the land, it's about the people. And we have a challenge that both papal-led Christianity and Islam united government and religion. We often call it church and state, to persecute anyone who doesn't follow their expectations. And that's been a horrendous plague all over the world throughout this time period since the time of Jesus.
And when church and state unites, I note that it was in the Roman times. Why would that be repeated now? How could that be repeated?
Well, you had a pope that claimed to have global religious and political power. So he unites with kings to enforce his will. The church isn't, you know, needs a political arm to force their will on nations and people. And so you got the Holy Roman Empire, which was a combination of God's people and political power. Ancient Rome with Christianity becomes the Holy Roman Empire. And people who loved Jesus and followed the Bible as their authority instead of the traditions of the church were killed by the millions over the years. The thing of it is, the Muslims did exactly the same thing. Muhammad creates a Muslim empire. It's called a caliphate, and the caliph wants global religious and political power. And so they persecute anybody who disagrees with them. Because if you're going to hold earthly power, you have to silence your opposition, which is totally different than what Jesus said about loving your enemies and doing good to those who persecute you. And so they take on, instead of trusting God, they decide to trust might makes right. We're going to force people to see it our way. What happens in a marriage if one spouse decides to force the other to see it their way? Doesn't go well.
No.
Doesn't go well in history either.
And what is the deciding influence of that? Like, what exactly are they wanting the world or people to do? What is their, I guess, their coercive control is for what outcome, and what will they use in order to do that?
Well, let's just take a look at Iran right now. That is a combination of church and state. The Ayatollah, a religious leader, and the Iranian Republican Guard Corps, the state, the combination. So you have a military combined with a religion, and you either have to agree with Shia Islam in Iran or they will kill you. And in the last month or so, they've killed about 140,000 demonstrators on the street that no longer want to be under Shia Islam.
Wow.
And under that controlling force. There were 70,000 Christians killed in 1 week on St. Bartholomew's massacre by the Catholics in France. I mean, this kind of stuff happens on a regular basis through history when humans, well, think of Jesus. We can't let this guy go around teaching and preaching and raising people from the dead. Everybody will follow him instead of us, so let's kill him and his followers. When you have church and state united, it does horrendous, horrendous acts. There's a saying your listeners have probably heard. Power corrupts, absolute power absolutely corrupts. That saying was coined by a historian that was studying the papacy. When they combined church and state, it absolutely corrupted both sides.
And will that happen in our lifetime, and where will it begin?
Okay. Well, it's already happening, as I just mentioned, in Iran. It's happening with the Muslim Brotherhood. It's happening in Turkey with Erdogan. It's happening in the United States right now, because you have the rise of the political right, which is trying to mix Christianity and government and force people to go their way. In the attack on Iran, there have been reports of many, many military commanders telling the American troops that they're going out to fight the battle for God. Wow. So this is being framed as a holy war. Meanwhile, the people in Iran, the radicals there, know that they're fighting a holy war against the global north and the King of the North Alliance. So this thing is actually a global war. But now you can take a look in the United States. You have the radical left. Now, they want to enforce their anti-traditional Christianity views on the world through political power. So you can actually have an atheistic church and state. Atheism is their religion, and they unite with the church. And every time you have it, you get persecution. Now, Marxist socialism say religion is the opiate of the people, and all the wars in the world are caused by religion, you know, becoming political. Well, just religion, they say. But if you look at the history of Stalin.
Communism.
I mean, he killed millions more than Hitler did because he took his religion, Marxist socialism, and tried to force with military government power everybody to do it his way.
And in our time, what do we need to do, Tim? What is your advice for people listening? Perhaps this is the first time they've heard about Daniel 11 and the King of the North, King of the South, the literal ones that were in Bible time and those in history and now in terms of where we're at. What do you want them to know about what we need to do to prepare?
Well, realize that we are in a global war between the global North and the global South. It was predicted in the Bible. And I can tell you the outcome. The radical left and radical Islam goes down. Traditional Christianity becomes politically powerful. And all the world either follows after a politicized Christianity or else they're in big trouble. But God's people will be caught in the middle during the struggle. They won't go with the South. They won't go with the North, the Islam or the Christian side. They will follow Jesus because you don't want to politicize Christianity. It's never accurate to the Bible. And so you're going to get caught in the middle. But I want to challenge all of our listeners. Identify which way you lean. Most likely, mostly Australian listeners here. Do you lean politically left, which is towards the King of the South Alliance? Or do you lean politically right, which is towards the King of the North Alliance? Here's why that's important. Because all the world is sucked into one of these two camps, except those that are in the middle following Jesus. And so your risk of deception is from the side you lean towards, because you won't be sucked in by the people you don't like. You will be sucked in by the side that you've been making excuses. And if you're honest, you know that whichever way you lean, you accentuate the errors of the other side and you minimize the problems of your side, which means you are preparing yourself to be deceived and sucked in by the side you lean towards. So identify which side you're on, leaning, and then be on guard for that, because that's the side that'll pull you away from Jesus and take you into a might makes right. We're going to make the world do the right thing according to the way we see it, instead of following God's word.
That is very profound. What would be the characteristics then of the people in the middle who is God's people?
Okay, the people in the middle are trusting Jesus, not themselves, for salvation. They know they're sinners, but they know that Jesus died for them and they've accepted his gift of forgiveness and eternal life. They're then asking the Holy Spirit to fill them and change them from the inside out, to make them more like Jesus, which is having him be the Lord of our life, not just our Savior. They will follow the Bible no matter what it says, and they will love people around them for Jesus. And the more they're committed and filled with the Spirit, the more active they will be in witnessing and sharing God's message of love and truth with the world around them, and the less fearful they will be. If you think about end time events and you're filled with fear, that tells me that you're not close enough to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
When Paul was thrown in jail, he wasn't fearful about it. He was praising God for the privilege of suffering for Jesus, who suffered for him. So the love of Jesus drove out the fear. I know a man who repeatedly risked his life in a Muslim country. I mean, I'm not going to go into the story. It's amazing. And he's ended up baptizing terrorists that were openly saying they were going to kill him. But I said, man, you're really brave for Jesus. And he said, no, I'm just a sinner that loves Jesus. And that's exactly where his strength comes from. He identifies himself as a sinner that loves Jesus. He owes everything to Jesus, so he's not afraid to do anything for Jesus.
So really there's three sides. There's the King of the North.
There are three sides.
King of the South. And then there's in the center, there's Jesus and God's people. People, if you've just joined us, we're talking to Tim Rosenberg, who has dedicated his life to understand in detail through God's word, Daniel 11, which tells us of the end time prophecies. And if you'd like to join him, he will be in Victoria Park tonight in Perth, which is in Geddes Street in Vic Park. And it will start at 6:30. And then tomorrow it starts at 10 a.m. And there are also two sessions on Sunday at 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock. Don't miss this. If you are in Perth, you need to go there. People that have already gone to the hills are now going to go there again. And if you're not in Western Australia, you can go to his website. You can go to the Bickley Seventh-day Adventist Church website to see all of the seminars that he's already done up there. Or you can also go to islamandchristianity.org. So that's Islam, A-N-D for and, Christianity.org. And there's also a book that Tim has written, which is called Islam and Christianity in Bible Prophecy, which I understand you can get from Amazon. Don't go away. We're going to be back with Tim after this beautiful music to unpack more about Daniel 11.
Yes, and as Tim was talking about fear, we have a scripture song, and this is Whenever I Am Afraid by Trilogy Scripture Songs. Whenever I Am Afraid by Trilogy Scripture Songs. There's such a beautiful message in that song. If you've just joined us, friends, you are listening to Faith FM, Drive Time, Big Q&A with Emily and Naomi. And we've had a wonderful time with our special guest, haven't we, Naomi?
We have. Tim Rosenberg, thank you so much for joining us again. You joined us last week. And listeners, if you'd like to go back and have a listen, if you didn't listen last Friday night, you can go to Faith FM, go down to the Browse section, and the podcast is there, Eden to Eternity, and it says Tim Rosenberg, Islam and Christianity, and that's the 6th of March. Thank you, Tim, for joining us again this week. We're in beautiful Sabbath day or evening that we're going into now. And I just want to actually say a quote back to you, which is actually your quote from one of your seminars, and it is, never take a vacation from God on vacation. There's too much adventure to happen when you live with Jesus all the time. Tell us about that.
Oh, I love not taking a vacation from God. Everywhere I go, God puts people in my path to share with. Of course, I do ask God every day, or intend to, and if I forget, I've reminded him to do it if I forget, is to put somebody in my path that I can share his love or truth with.
And you're on a cruise and when you said this particular story. What happened there? Tell us about that.
I know, it depends. Yeah, there's so many of them. I think probably what I was talking about was there was a guy on the cruise ship that had a Bible study.
That's the one.
And he's a lawyer, a high-power business lawyer, and he was giving a prophecy explanation of end-time events. And he was actually using the typical 7-year tribulation outline and everything. And when he got done, he said, does anybody have a question? And I thought, okay, he's a lawyer. If I challenge him, I've got a battle, but I can ask questions. So I just raised my hand and he said, yes. And I said, sir, can you show me anywhere in the scripture where that sequence of events happens in that order in the Bible? And he thought about it, and he said, no, not exactly. I said, well, I can think of a slightly different sequence that is in Daniel 11 from beginning to end, and the sequence is God's, but the events are slightly different in the order and how they're described than what you've given. And he said, would you like to present that tomorrow?
Wow. And did you?
So the next day, I, you know, he didn't know he was asking somebody that does this year round. And so the next day I had 1 hour and I packed it into an hour. And boy, that left several days of very active discussion that followed on the ship, both in and out of the Bible study. And when the ship comes into a port, I often am known to have already pre-scheduled to go ashore and preach while I'm there. And in this case, I went in on a Sabbath and I'm preaching in a church in southern Spain, and people from the cruise ship went with me to hear me speak on
wow.
on Sabbath.
No,
so this is why I say never take a vacation from God on vacation. I've made friends with captains and shared books and got all kinds of discussion going with crew and captains, and they often have speakers, and I make friends with them, the history speakers. And it's just amazing. God's always doing things.
Do you feel that God has raised you up for such a time as this? Do you feel the weight of that, of what you've been doing all these years, and the fact that, you know, you've been writing and researching about Daniel 11 and what will happen in the world, particularly to do with the Muslim world, and here you land in Australia, and America, who's mentioned in prophecy, is actually attacks Iran. Do you feel that there is a weight of providence here?
Well, it verifies what God asked me to do.
Which was what?
To share Daniel 11 with the world.
He told you that.
I battled writing the book because I hate writing. And God left it very clear to me that I had to write it. And here's the impression that I was getting, that if I delayed writing the book, I was delaying the coming of Christ and people would be lost.
Wow. That's powerful.
Yeah.
That's profound.
And by the time I was getting closer to having it done, I actually asked a church leader and my wife to both promise me that if I was killed by anything happened to me, they would get the book out.
Wow. That must have been a very powerful moment.
But there's one further back than that. As I was developing Daniel 11, my understanding, I was doing a prophecy seminar in a church. It was technically a church I was responsible for when I was a pastor. I was pastoring a large church, but there was a little church out in the mountains that I went to every other month just to kind of be their coach. And I offered them to come up and do a 10-day prophecy seminar. Part of it was on Daniel 11, part with other things. And I just chose the order of events as I thought people had an interest in how it worked better. And that's what I was doing. And during probably about presentation 5 or 6, I was having a closing prayer. I'm praying. And while I was praying, I heard God talk to me. I mean, I'm not talking an impression. I'm talking direct words.
Wow.
And it was, what do you think you're doing? I don't know, Naomi, how would you feel if you heard God say, what do you think you're doing?
Well, I'd feel overwhelmed and a failure. I'd feel, okay, I would want to know what it is. What? Tell me what you want me to do is what I'd want to know.
My response was, Lord, I think I'm working for you, because right then I wasn't sure anymore. I think I'm working for you. Why this? And the answer came right back. So why are you using your outline and not mine?
Wow.
And I knew instantly what he was asking me to do.
Okay.
And that was the start at the beginning of 11:2, end in 12:3. Don't miss anything. Follow his sequence, his outline. Remember what I asked the lawyer on the ship?
What was that?
Can you show me anywhere where this is in the Bible?
Yep.
Well, God nailed me with that one.
Oh.
And I said, okay. And I made changes. And it just exploded right after I made the changes. God honored it, and everything started falling in place. And within a year, I was no longer a pastor. I was full-time Daniel 11.
Incredible. And that was 2011 or 2000?
Yeah, that would have been 2009, I think it was, when that happened.
That's amazing.
And by 2011, a little over a year, I was full-time on Daniel 11.
And that's so interesting that you heard the voice of God. Not many people do. But what's interesting to me is that when you heard what it was, you knew instantly what you needed to do, which tells me that it is God, well, not only of what you did end up doing, but also I think often when we think, is this God or not, then there's confusion, because God is not the God of confusion. He's the God of order, not the God of chaos.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So there it backs it up. You knew immediately and you did it. And then the fruits of, you know, by their fruits you shall know them. The fruits of that is look at it. Do you just pinch yourself as to how far it's gone and people's reaction now? I understand you've been on lots of American programs, getting up very early Australian time to talk to them. Do you just pinch yourself that God has prepared us for such a time as this?
Well, I knew this time was coming. I just didn't know exactly when. I was wanting it to be a long time ago because I want to go home. I want to go be with Jesus.
How old are you, can we ask?
Yeah, you can ask. I'm 67.
Yeah. So old enough to know better, as my mom would have said. So you've been doing this. You've been dedicated as a minister your whole life and now dedicated since 2009, roughly, to Daniel 11. What is it that we need to do? When God said, what are you doing? He's probably saying that to all of us, but we're not hearing it or knowing it. What do you want us to do, God? What do you think God wants us to do?
Number one, trust Jesus for your salvation. You're never going to be good enough. Only He is. You will never, ever be good enough to cover the wages of sin. So give up trying. Focus on Jesus. But don't just stay in your lackadaisical, halfway Christian lifestyle. Go all in with Jesus. Follow wherever the Bible leads. Keep digging. Keep looking. Don't be satisfied with a tradition. And I don't care what church you're coming from. Don't be satisfied with what you're taught. Know it for yourselves. Dig in. And you've got to be able to answer several questions.
What is that?
Based on Daniel 11, it tells us the topics we need to understand. One, Jesus and salvation. Can you tell somebody else how to be a Christian? I've got materials on my website to help with that. And the outline for presentation one has a gospel presentation in it. Secondly, we need to know that there's a judgment in heaven and it's about to end. We need to know that what does the Bible say about the mark of following God versus the mark of following Satan's side in the end. The mark of the beast. That's actually about a day of worship. The king of the south has a day of worship, Friday. The king of the north has a day of worship, Sunday. The king of kings has a day of worship. It's the seventh day Sabbath.
In the middle.
And the day you choose to worship on shows who your authority is. Is it the Bible and Jesus, or is it the authority of the papal traditional king of the north, or is it the king of the south, Islam?
But what do you say to people who say it doesn't matter because the commandments are done away with? The remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, the seventh day, is done away with.
Well, that would be the commandment that God said to remember. Mm. Only one of them He said remember. Mm. At the end in Revelation, God's people are keeping the commandments and having the testimony of Jesus. It's never by works. You know, actually the Sabbath day is a sign of righteousness by faith, because the Sabbath in the Old and New Testament is a sign that we're being saved by God, that He makes us holy. He sanctifies us. He hallows us. We can't make ourselves holy, only He can. He took an ordinary day, the seventh day, and made it holy. He didn't make the first day holy. He didn't make the Friday holy. He made the seventh day holy. As a sign that He can take an ordinary sinner like you and me and make us holy. And in Hebrews chapter 10, it talking about the Sabbath, says God rested on the Sabbath day from all His works. So I can now rest on the Sabbath, trusting in His works for my salvation.
Mm.
It's, again, it's about resting. People say, oh, you're trying to earn your way to heaven by works. I smile and say, no, I'm resting my way to heaven. Mm. Why are you working on it? On Sabbath.
And in when you mentioned the Bible verse, you mentioned that's Revelation 14:12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they.
It's also in 12:17.
In 12:17. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So it tells us there we are keeping the commandments and that is right in the middle of the end times.
In Revelation 14, the commandment that is quoted from is the Sabbath commandment, where it's talking about worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the springs, etc. That is a direct quote out of the Sabbath commandment. And so when it talks about keeping the commandments at the end of time, it references the Sabbath commandment when it does it.
Which is Revelation 14, verse 7, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water," which is a direct quote from Exodus 20, verse 8 to 11, which is the Sabbath commandment.
Correct. And by the way, they say the law has been done away with. Romans chapter 3, I think it's verse 31. Paul says, have we abolished the commandments? God forbid. We have established them.
Exactly. So if you've just joined us, everyone, we're talking to Tim Rosenberg, and you've missed a lot, but you can get it back on the podcast, which will be up later tonight. Don't go away. We'll be back in a moment.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
Welcome back, listeners. If you've just joined us, you're on Eden to Eternity, Drive Time, Big Q&A this beautiful Friday night, and we're with Tim Rosenberg. And we have had a wonderful discussion about Daniel 11, which is what he has devoted his entire life to. And we've had some wonderful things that we've been discussing. And I've got a question for you, Tim. Does China have a role in the end time prophecy?
Not directly. A lot of people ask about China, India, and all that. How can all this massive part of the world not be involved? Here's the simple answer. Have they ever attacked Israel from the north or the south? No.
No.
And so what God is doing, he's using the attacks on Israel, the land, as a acted out parable of what's happening to God's people all over the world, which would include China and India. But in the time of the end conflict, you have a King of the South alliance that is both Muslim and Marxist socialist. And this is where China fits in, because it's part of the King of the South alliance. So right now, at the time of the end conflict, China is supporting Iran, and that's a King of the South coalition or alliance. And so China is there indirectly, as all the world is sucked into this final North-South conflict, the global North and the global South. And so they're there, but not directly, because they have not directly attacked Israel, the land. But as a people, they're part of the global conflict with God's people caught in the middle. I mean, I can still get in huge trouble if I was in China presenting this stuff. Because I got taken down on TikTok many, many times, because TikTok was operated by the Chinese government, and they were the major supporters of Hamas. And when I talked about how they were working together, they just canceled me on my programming on TikTok.
Wow. And what do Muslims say about what you preach, Tim?
That's what amazes a lot of people. Muslims will come into our seminars often to argue with us. Sometimes they'll come as open friendship, but often they'll come to argue, and then they'll tell me, I don't understand this seminar. I end up agreeing about 80% of the time, and they're just surprised, and they're not arguing. And the point is, the reason is, I'm talking about the dangers or the misrepresentations of Christianity, where Christianity is not following the Bible, but I also point out problems on the Muslim side. And they're not used to somebody being fair with the prophecy and the history. And I've had a Muslim stand up in the middle of a meeting and a question and answer at the end and say, whatever you do, never stop preaching this material. This is a Muslim. I had Muslims that met me along the east coast of Australia about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. And they invited me to the mosque to present that night at the mosque. Muslims actually like this, because the moderate Muslims, and especially those searching for truth, because it shows that there will be some Christians and some Muslims who will come together to truly follow God as Jesus' Savior.
And for you, what do you think is the final test?
The final test is, will we do everything God asks us? Will we follow a human tradition over God and His Word. Now, for a lot of people, that's probably going to be a day of worship issue, because the King of the North, the papacy, has already indicated and has proven it in history that they change the day of worship from Sabbath to Sunday, and all who follow Sunday are following them. That's their issue. They've already put in writing under Benedict in his catechism that all Christians are to do all in their power to make Sunday a legal holiday. They're trying to get back to what they had under Constantine. So, yeah, that's coming, and the choice will be there. Will I follow God's word or human traditions? Now, that could be more than the Sabbath, even. Doesn't matter what the issue is in my life or your life. If we put any human tradition or human thoughts over Jesus and God's word, we're not really following Jesus if we put something else in its place, right? Mm. So, whatever it is, I do believe this day of worship will be the major test of the mark of the beast versus the seal of God. But it could be anything as well if I have something else that I want to follow instead of Jesus.
And we have those, don't we? We all have them. There was a beautiful quote that you said on one of your seminars the other night. You said, "Do you realize if you know Jesus, prophecy shouldn't be scary because why?
Because perfect love casts out fear."
Mm.
And if you have Jesus, even if you die, the next thing you know is eternity with Jesus. Now, I do think about that, because some places we go could be dangerous.
Mm.
People ask us, if you ever had a bad trip, I just smile and say, am I here? Because if I had a bad trip, I wouldn't be here.
Yes. And even if you weren't, if it was, you did mention the other day that you know the next thing you will see is the second coming of Jesus Christ, because you'll sleep in the grave.
Correct.
Yeah. So you don't have any
fear. Exactly.
You have no fear.
Well, I have a fear of dying, not of death. Because dying can hurt.
Hmm.
I'm not in the pain. But death is not a fear. Dying is a little bit of a fear, but I keep having to give that one to God.
And we know that the world is getting crazier and crazier, but we know that God is in control. And I'm wondering, Tim, if you could pray for us. I just want to thank you so much for coming on the program twice. I know you're so busy, and that you will be tonight. You're going to be talking at Victoria Park Church in Perth. And we just thank you for being with us, because we know that it's such a privilege to have you here. And we have over 3 million people a month listen on Faith FM. So we know that this message will get out. And we just thank you for that. If you can pray for all of the people who are hearing this message, that we will all stand for Jesus Christ.
Sure. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for loving each one of us. And Lord, I know that there are people that are listening right now that aren't quite sure if you really love them. Help them to understand that you do. I know you died for them. You care for them. Your word says you love each and every one of us, and that none of us have gone too far that you can't bring us back and save us. And so, Father, as we watch the world apparently coming apart, we can know that because of your prophecies that it's right on track. It's headed for the closing events and the deliverance of your people by your power and the coming of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, change us from the inside out. Help us to love people all around us so you can change those people from the inside out. And we can be a part of your kingdom forever and ever, with no more pain, no more suffering. As you said, for the former things have passed away. Come soon, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Tim. God bless you, and God bless your family.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And listeners, stay with us. And this is Better Than I by Marlita Fong.
I thought I did what's right. I thought I had the answer. I chose the surest road, but that road brought me here. So I put up a fight.
Better Than I by Marlita Fong. If you've just joined us, listeners, you are listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Emily and Naomi. And we have had a fantastic interview with our friend Tim Rosenberg. And it was really amazing, wasn't it, Naomi?
It was so thrilling. And if you missed it, you can go back to the Faith FM app or go online and go to the browse section, where this live program will become a recording later tonight or tomorrow morning. It'll be up there as a podcast, and you'll be able to re-listen to it or listen to it for the first time. And also last week's one, because this is part two, we had Tim last week. We were very blessed to have him last week as well. And he was also talking then about Islam and Christianity. Just a reminder, his website is islamandchristianity.org, and that is spelt the and is actually spelt out, so A-N-D, so islamandchristianity.org. You can also get his beautiful book, which is called Islam and Christianity in Bible Prophecy, and that's available on Amazon, I understand. And what a wonderful, wonderful dedication to his life. He's spent over 25 years researching and writing the book, which he told us last week. He updates, they do updates of the book, because obviously things actually come to be that he has talked about that. And remember, this isn't his opinion. This is the Bible prophecy in Daniel 11 in particular.
Yeah. I mean, it's a test to know, you know, that it is really important what he's sharing. If he's been studying it for so long, he's not like, oh yeah, that I was actually wrong, you know, we shouldn't actually be talking about this. But
oh, correct.
He you know, he goes around the world sharing this, doesn't he?
And in fact, he, you know, he's been up very early. He was staying in, he's still in Perth, and he's been up early every morning, practically being interviewed in American, different American programs. And so it's very interesting to me that in Daniel, if you read it, at one point, the angel tells him to shut up this book to the time of the end. And what that means, people, as Tim was sharing with us last week and this week, is that, that it was not written for Daniel's time. It was written for our times, the time of the end. And to open it up means to be open, to show, to let us know what it means. So everyone now is starting to get that knowledge and understand, because it makes sense for us, but it didn't make sense for them. In fact, Daniel, at one point when he saw a vision, he just fell down on the ground and was sick for days because he couldn't understand what was happening, where he was seeing wars and terrible things happening.
Mm, yeah, exactly. And if, you know, Daniel 12 is talking about when Jesus comes again, and Daniel 11 is like talks about what happens just before Jesus coming. Like, that is for us, isn't it?
Exactly.
We're living in that time.
Yes, and I just really praise God for giving Tim the fortitude to continue on, even when people had derided him and criticized him and perhaps, you know, made fun of him of what he was doing or what he was saying, because they couldn't see it. So it's a really good example for us that, you know, we need to go and search the scriptures for ourselves and see what it says, because, you know, there is definitely a time, and this is the time. This is the time of the end, and we do need to know what is it that God wants us to know so that we are prepared when it does happen.
Yes, that's right. And we just want to give a shout out to those who have texted in for the book, to Tanya and to Sikshana and to Clara, Stephen and Ren. And thank you so much for listening
and
as well.
Esther and Damien. Yes.
Yes, they texted in
and
earlier.
And Naomi as well. So very good name there. I think that was that. And it's wonderful that it's such a great book. If you want to get it, everybody, it is a fantastic book. It's by Stephen Warburg, and you text into our drive time number, which is 0488 808 11. So that's 0488 808 11, and the code word for tonight is SA407. So that's S for South Australia, A407, SA407, 0488 808 11. And this is a terrific book. It's called The Bloody Woman and the Seven-Headed Beast, and it's about Revelation and end times. So it's a perfect segue into this book, because it's actually about the time of the end, which is what we've been talking about tonight. And it says, I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. But the angel said to me, why do you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. And that's quoted from Revelation 17, 6 and 7. So this book, Steve Warburg writes beautiful books about the end times. And this one identifies who the woman is, the three seven-headed beasts, decodes the seven kings, and it talks about America in Bible prophecy, as well as the great mark of the beast and the ten horns against the lamb. So get this book, 0488 808 11, and the code word tonight is SA407. And we did mention earlier, if you are in Adelaide on Sunday, there's a terrific program which is going to be in Prospect International Church at 7 Ballville Street, Prospect. That's at 4 p.m. What in the World Is Going On? And that's with presenter Pastor Martin Smith. Sorry, not Martin Smith, Pastor Martin Kim. Got to get my Martins right. And that's at 4 p.m. And he's going to be talking about global warnings. Is the end near? And there's also going to be a free dinner, a free plant-based dinner, so very healthy, and a health talk by our health presentation by Liana Kim, which is, I'm assuming, Pastor Kim's wife.
Yes, I believe so.
And that's going to be titled Call Upon God, a health presentation. And also at 6:30, Revelation's Rapture, How Will the World End? And that is going to be a fantastic program. It's free. Come to the International Prospect Church, SDA Church, in 7 Ballville Street in Prospect. And that's a terrific, be a terrific afternoon, and it's totally free.
Yes, and speaking of plant-based food, on Wednesday, as we mentioned earlier, we have a cooking class in Adelaide City. So the Adelaide City Seventh-day Adventist Church Hall on 82 Angus Street. That's 82 Angus Street on this Wednesday, the 18th of March at 6:15. We would love to see you there. And yes, we can eat together and have fun together, cook together. So it'll be awesome. And also a shout out to Nicole, and she texted in also for the book. So that is so wonderful.
It certainly is. And for those of you who are texting in about our wonderful guest, Tim Rosenberg, and where he's going to be tonight, I'll just repeat that for you because you didn't know, you obviously didn't listen in earlier. So here we are. It's actually going to be tonight, 6:30 p.m. in Perth, and that's in Victoria Park, Seventh-day Adventist Church, which is 19 Geddes Street, Victoria Park, which is just over the causeway, over the Swan River from the city. And that's near Albany Highway. So you can get along there, and they've got a wonderful meeting tonight at 6:30. And then there'll be another meeting in the morning at 10 a.m., 11 o'clock and 3 o'clock, and a free lunch as well. And you'll get to meet Tim. And on the Sunday, there'll be two sessions, 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock. And there's a Q&A with him as well. And that would be fantastic. If you're not in Perth, they will be recorded and you can watch them back. If you go to the Victoria Park Seventh-day Adventist website and YouTube channel, and the same with Bickley Church, what he did on the weekend, Bickley Church, you go to the YouTube for Bickley Seventh-day Adventist Church in Perth Hills, and you will be able to see the programs there.
Awesome. Excellent. And friends, we'll be back in a moment to share some closing thoughts.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
And so, friends, welcome back. You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time, big Q&A with Emily and Naomi. And Naomi, we've heard so many wonderful things this evening. And what would you like to leave our listeners with as we finish off this evening's program?
Well, I just want to let everyone know that I love what Tim shared with us. He's shared just such present truth that we need to know last week and this week. And the one thing that is the takeaway for me, both what he has said on the radio here with us and on Faith FM, and also in his lectures and seminars that I've been listening to online, he said, you don't need to fear. God has given us the prophecy in advance. So when we see it come to pass, we will know that we can trust God who made heaven and earth, who knows the end from the beginning and is in control of everything. God is in control. And that beautiful verse that Tim referred to, 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love cast out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So what it's telling us is that because we don't have to have any fear, because God is love. For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that who believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So we know, Emily, that no matter what happens, God is in control. And as Tim pointed out to us, what are the things that we need to do? We need to draw close to God, pray, ask God, what would you have us do? Because we know that Jesus could come at any time, but he's waiting. Why is he waiting? Well, I know for me, if Jesus had have come 5 years ago, I would not have been saved, because I was out in the world not realizing that I was out in the world. So draw close to God, pray, read the Bible for yourself. It's not the gospel according to Naomi and Emily or Tim. It's the gospel according to Jesus Christ. Open your Bible. If you don't have one, text us here at Faith FM. We will get you one. We will send you a free Bible. Or I will send you a free Bible if Faith FM is not sending you one.
Yeah. And that just reminds me of a verse I was reading this week, and it was just so powerful. Like Pastor Tim was talking about how the Sabbath is a sign, it's obviously a sign that God is the creator, but that we do not have to try and be good and try and follow God's commandments, but we can rest in God. And this verse is in Romans 8 verse 11, and it says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead be in you, dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead also will quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. So it's saying that even if you feel dead or even if you feel so weak, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. So that's pretty powerful, you know. We don't see someone coming to life from the dead very often, or maybe we've never seen it, probably. And so that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is able to be in us and in our lives. And that's why we don't have to fear. And that's why we don't have to, you know, be anxious and stressed about how we're going to get through, you know, this week or this year or the future, isn't it?
Mm, because Sabbath is a sign. It's a sign of the relationship that exists between God and his people, as Tim talked about. It's a sign that we honour his law and that we love him.
Mm, that's beautiful. And Naomi, can you pray for our listeners before we go?
I can. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the Sabbath that we are going into the hours of. We know, Lord, that in the end times, the Bible tells us that there will be a worship of who we worship, Lord, is a sign whether we are with you, Lord, or with the great deceiver. So, Lord, we choose you. We choose you to be our master. Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Dear Father, bless us and keep us. Bless all of those people around the world who are in the war-torn countries that are happening now, Lord. Bless all the people in America. Bless all the people in Iran. Bless the people in Israel. Bless the people in Australia, Lord, that here we are in this safe country. Please, Lord, please bless us and seek to open the Bible, Lord. Help us to seek you and seek your word. We pray all of this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for joining us, listeners. From creation to restoration, this is Eden to eternity. Until next time, rest in the promise in Matthew 11:28. Come unto me and I will give you rest.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.